Welcome back to Cogumentative, where we're all back in the studio for a change.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at this.
To talk about cars and all things automotive. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times, and strangely this week I'm joined by...
Mike Salomon.
Yeah, he's
and at
back.
Least I'm here to... I'm able to defend myself. I've been...
Did you listen to last week?
Oh, yeah, I've been hung up to dry. This is ridiculous.
I'm Mark Paluta.
I'm Nadav Ravid.
And guys, we are not going to be talking about Mike Salomon today.
Tonight we are going to be talking a lot about someone in the
Mark room. Selfie Salomon will be talking about himself.
We all get a chance to defend ourselves when we all get a chance to be hung out to dry.
Yeah,
so tonight, it's peaks and troughs.
Tonight is your night.
Yeah, that's what she said. Okay, guys.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about news, and this is an interesting one. As we all know, crime stats came out today, and crime stats obviously influence car crime stats. Obviously.
Okay.
Do you know what the number one brand is in South Africa in terms of theft and hijacking? And
well, I know for a long time it was like...
Toyota.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, Toyota. The number one hijacking...
Or VW. Or
Hilux.
A Polo or a Hilux.
I would have said VW.
I got
Hilux.
Okay.
Well, the number one hijacked brand... I'm not doing models here because in South Africa they don't go into that detail yet. Is Toyota with 5,253 models stolen from 1 April 2018 to 31 March 2019.
That's not possible.
5,
that's
thousand.
More like a month's
5,253.
How many Toyotas are on the road? I mean, I'm asking seriously now. Because I mean, like, what percentage of them actually get
these
stolen?
These are hijacked. These are hijackings, eh?
Yeah.
Strictly hijacked.
Oh, you said...
I know, yeah. I said wrong. Sorry, hijacked car brand.
So Toyota's the most hijacked.
Yeah.
Hmm. I wish they were more model specific.
Yeah.
But is that not I think Mark's got a point. Is that not related to how many Toyotas there are? I mean, they're more likely, they're just more of them.
Of course.
Than almost anything else.
I mean, what was second?
Volkswagen.
How many?
Well, 2,877.
Sure. It's double,
eh? Third.
I'm going to bet you like a Range Rover was very low on that list.
Yeah. Do you know what was third?
Because they don't really sell them. Yeah.
Nissan, interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah.
2,877. And then Ford came in at fourth.
So basically, it's exactly in line with car brand sales.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, which makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
We all drive Porsches. Porsche came in at 9 hijacked Porsches.
You know, that's really hectic because of late, yeah. I mean, a lot of videos circulating of incidents.
But I think it's mainly guys targeting owners. Because they kind of think they might have a Breitling watch on or so an expensive pair of shoes or jacket.
What about a Prius?
What about a Prius?
It's a Toyota.
Yeah, but I don't think people hijack them. It's not very high up on the...
Do you know this for a fact? How do you know that 4,800 of the weren't Priuses?
Because they sell like one a month if they're lucky.
Because they're really not good.
Do you think people don't like them maybe? Is that why nobody wants Prius?
You know, like the Offspring once said, it's cool to hate.
It's cool to hate.
Yeah.
Well, this is...
You sound like someone who's going to live in America.
This is an asterisk for later,
guys. In Texas and have a shotgun.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's lighten it up.
Let's lighten it up. It still is. It's the Frankfurt Motor Show this week. I don't know if you guys saw Volkswagen redesign their logo.
Yeah.
Became a little flatter.
Yeah,
a little
flatter.
A bit less three-dimensional.
Yeah. But what do you think about that?
Well, the big news.
I mean, most people won't be able to notice the difference.
No.
I heard that they did.
Yeah.
So I looked at that new ID3. And I couldn't see it. So it's obviously, like you said, with flatter and it's white on those cars. So I couldn't really tell.
Anyway. You know, they're going to change all their models. They're going to spend money on branding. And, you know, someone suggested that rebranding VW will be a good thing because of Dieselgate. You know, obviously they think they've got some bad PR. And this is a way of drawing a line in the sand and saying, okay, we the new VW. That's the idea. Me, that's all nonsense.
It's electric.
There was something substantially more exciting than a new VW badge. And it was something that had a bull on the front.
The ID3.
The new Lamborghini.
I thought you were talking about the new Land Rover.
The new Lamborghini
Sian. We discussed this last week.
If you'd listened to the podcast, then you would
know. But now it's actually been released.
We still don't have anything to say about it.
It's got a supercapacitor.
You can't buy one.
It's not as fast as a Bugatti.
Yep.
In fact, it's not even
as
fast as
a little bit faster than your Diablo.
And we still don't even know if it's got doors that go up.
Yeah, they won't open the doors.
Like the doors of a Billionaire.
It's as fast as the GTR.
It's basically an Aventador turned up to 11, and then the SVJ. Aventador SVJ turned up to 11
with
an electric, but like hardly hybrid.
And it'll have a decent gearbox.
It's got like a Duracell battery.
Yeah.
And it's got a little.
It charges fast.
Yeah. What gearbox does it have?
Well, the old one was a single clutch gearbox.
It still has a single clutch gearbox, and they say the motor.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. The new electric motor helps to fill the jerkiness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They still
went genuinely for an SVJ Plus.
That's, yep.
That's poor.
Sorry. Which is kind of what Ferrari did.
Ferrari keeps doing.
They've had double clutch.
But we need time to talk about the new Defender.
Yeah, I think
we do. Well, that's what I was going to next.
I think we do.
I want one so much.
It's actually a very good looking car.
I really want it.
It's cool. But I got a problem.
What's
that? I went onto the configurator and you can only configure the 110. You couldn't configure the.
Because the 90 is only coming out later in 2020.
So
at launch. At launch.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
110. They're bringing out the 90 later. They're also bringing out.
Wifey will get the 110.
No.
We want the 90.
I don't think that this is a.
Can I tell
this
you?
This is not a very girly car, actually. It's going to be the.
No, I'm saying.
Who said it was a girly car?
You're going to have two in the family.
Said wife is going to have.
No, she wants the four door.
Why?
Because I don't think she'll want that.
It's
I don't think
to
she'll
park.
Want that.
Because
yeah.
Hashtag kids. Let me tell you that this car was. the whole build up to the reveal of this car was very controversial.
Huge.
Defender owners were up in arms about how can they discontinue our precious Defender after 1,000 years.
Mm.
I think they've done a fabulous job. They had a tough job to tough act to follow.
A nightmare job.
A nightmare job to follow because of the following. And it is brilliant. It's better than when Porsche went air-cooled, liquid-cooled. Mm. Because then people were really angry.
Yeah.
This is a good job.
I think they could have done more with the front. I think it's a little bit like nowhere. But listen, I think the 90 in the Huey green with a white roof and the
white steel wheels. And the steel wheels
absolutely has to be the steel
everyone's
wheels.
Everyone's going to have those. They have to have. They're much better than the alloys.
Who would have thought, like in 2020, steel we'd be driving cars with steel wheels?
It's quite cool.
It's very cool.
I got shouted at by someone in a Defender 2 weeks back.
It happens a lot.
Yeah,
they're greenies.
He chased me down in the 928, came to my gate and shouted at me, telling me that I drove like an idiot.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of questions for him. I was going to ask him like whether he had a radar on his head or whether he really should have been risking everyone's life by chasing me in a Defender because that thing doesn't turn or stop.
So the new one will.
But he was a gym guy, so I didn't.
It no longer has a ladder chassis.
No, it doesn't. So it's
so it can go around corners.
No, I mean it could never have.
Yeah,
what platform is it?
It's called the D7X. X is for extreme.
So it's a whole new platform.
It's apparently the most rigid architecture that's ever been on a Land Rover or Range Rover product. So
it's distant from the old Defender. It's got fully independent suspension.
Yeah.
Did you see the launch? Did you see the video? It came down a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, so it's angles of departure and... What do you call it? I don't know.
Approach and departure.
Approach and departure.
Breakover.
Are still very good. So its overhangs are very low.
Yeah, but they did that with the 90. So, I mean, you'd imagine the 110 to be not quite.
So, look, it's
capable. It'll have more at the back.
Yeah.
It's capable, but, I mean, would you really want to take your Defender off? It's like, it's almost too nice to bang up.
No.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It looks too good.
I read somewhere, I'm not sure if it's true, but it comes from the factory wrapped.
No, it's an option. So
is
you
it
get
an
a,
option?
Yeah,
wrapped in what?
Wrapped. So you can, the factory will peel and replace your wrap if you scratch it too much.
Oh, really?
Well, it's pretty cool.
It's like a paint protection film that goes on. It's a sustainable one. That's what the press release said.
Oh,
green,
made
sustainable.
Out of jellyfish or something.
Good for polar bears and stuff. And it protects your paint from being.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Blown away.
I'm quite a fan of like controversy and things like that. I can't wait to see the guys who drive the G-Wagons buy these things and pimp them up with 22-inch wheels and stuff. The guys for the original Defenders will lose their, their minds.
Look at this. Look at the market they're selling to.
Yeah, but things have moved on, and 22-inch wheels are actually optional from the factory.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go for 32s.
So I think we should discuss how difficult a job it was.
Really,
I gave it a little bit of thought, and the fact is that this situation, I think, stand to be corrected, is unprecedented. You've never had to replace a model that's been going on for 70 years. Yeah. 71 years ago, they released the first Land Rover.
So the closest is probably the Beetle. It's still
derived from that. The closest is probably the Beetle.
Yeah, and that wasn't still so derived great.
From that. No. But imagine the enormity of the task of trying to bridge the gap between something that was basically completely archaic for the last 40 years and bring it bang up to date with future proofing. I mean, God knows the criticism that they opened themselves
to. Right? And it took them a while to get it to market. Yeah, I mean, it took them
a huge effort. It really did. It's a good effort.
It was spotted on the Nürburgring. Remember that?
It was testing on the Nürburgring.
I agree. The styling in the front is a bit Land Rover derivative. I'm not too sure.
They'll probably spruce it up. Well, you know, put some driving lights on.
Land Rover, I suppose that's okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't remind me of the Defender as much as they.
It's very hard to do that.
That they want you to.
The Palisade fence reminds you of a Defender.
But mean the wire
they were never available, the old ones, in the States, right?
No, they were for a small amount of time.
They had some emission-friendly, like when 2 years of them.
When BMW was involved.
Yes.
Probably. I think with that 2.8 litre.
So they are like hen's teeth, the originals, in the States.
So this obviously
will get into the American market, which will be huge for them.
Yeah. It looks like it's capable. It's got, and they've been very clever with the customization.
Yeah, you can go to town. I mean, they've got all sorts of packs as an upgrade.
It's got a canvas sunroof.
And panniers.
Cool. That's cool.
I think they've been very clever. They've basically launched this entire like lifestyle almost that comes with the car. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, has anybody seen pricing, like local pricing?
Yeah, so I think the 90 was going to start in the mid 800s.
Yeah, 800
and the 110 starts in the mid 950s.
Okay, that's not terrible.
So Land Rover had a fantastic run with the Disco 4, and it completely fell over with the Disco 5.
Seems so.
So worldwide. This can rejuvenate, I think, the brand again.
Well, I think if you were like a proper outdoorsman, and I'm definitely not, but the you actually ran out of things that you could buy for the last while. So I've got friends overseas who are collectors, and recently, like, three of them have bought Ford Ranger, what do they call those things?
Raptor Rangers.
Raptors. Oh, yeah, they are the Raptors. And, like, I mean, I think that Land Rover would have been losing customers to that type of thing.
Yeah.
And finally, and I think a lot of the guys who would buy them are real outdoorsmen. Like, those Raptors were never fitting their image anyway. Right. So I think this is probably destined for greatness.
Do you think you'll be able to get a One Life Live It sticker?
Definitely.
For the front of it.
Yeah. The guy who chased me had one of those.
Did he? Of course he did.
Yeah.
One Life Kill It.
It said racing the planet.
Racing with wolves.
But you don't think that it's too tech heavy and not rugged enough?
Well,
are you going to take it to the unexplored?
Are you going to drive it through Africa?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
it's going to have to prove itself.
Well, that's the thing with the Defender. Well, it's like,
why wouldn't you? I mean, you're going to
take a Land Cruiser.
The Land Cruiser. You're going to take.
That's
no.
It is a
proper. Not. I'm not talking about the Land Cruiser Bucky.
No.
I'm talking about the actual,
like the proper big old. Yeah, another one.
V8 diesel Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
It's got just as much tech.
Yeah, but
it's got airbags, air suspension. It's got everything.
It's not as cut. It's not as cutting edge tech.
So the TV might stop working in the Defender. But
let's just say this: the Defender's definitely going to be a lot more reliable than the butt of all jokes original Defender.
You can't be worse.
Yeah,
can't be worse.
Yeah. Would you ever take an original Defender through Africa? Is the question.
Well, you could take it in. Whether it's coming back is another story.
The one to take is the Suzuki Jimny. I mean, I would take that anyway.
That's where they all go to die. All Defenders, you find them in Central Africa. That's where they all ended up.
So what else happened at the Frankfurt show? Is there more? There's the M8 competition.
Which we haven't spoken about.
BMW 4 Series. Yeah, it's funny.
It looks like it's got a bad, bad
teeth. It's melted.
Like a cane rat.
Yeah.
Somebody pimped my cane rat.
And that's 85% production ready.
Disgusting.
Really, that's terrible.
That how thing. Disgusting is that?
Keep not wanting to.
There was F8 Spider. You guys like that kind of stuff?
No, that's nonsense. F8, 812 GTS. That's cool. You disagree. Whoa. I thought that was that awesome. That is cool.
Well, it's an A12.
Yeah, so Ferrari A12 GTS.
Any derivative of that is brilliant.
It's a folding soft top.
You can it's a folding hard top. So
hard top?
It's pretty much the same. It's an open that A12. All the cars are using now.
Imagine how that thing sounds. System.
Amazing. What's not to like? Yeah. What is not to like? Look at it.
Yeah.
I like the SF90.
No, you're wrong.
They all look the same to me. And
oh my god! Says the Toyota lover.
That's where
all Ferraris look the same to him. V12
Ferraris again.
Ferraris need to be imaginative. Toyotas don't have to be, so they don't have an excuse.
Why don't they have to be?
A car racer.
Why does Toyota just get the opportunity to give up?
Because they make cars.
It's the same amount of metal as a Ferrari.
Whatever Toyota do, they're going to get criticized. Oh, it's too boring. It's too over the top. Oh, the Supra.
Toyota could make a good looking car. Why wouldn't they?
They did. The 86 looks great.
No, they did not.
It does, man. Rubbish. Anyway, that's all the time we have for news. We're going to take a quick break.
Guns. An essential tool in self-protection or a catalyst for criminality. CliffCentral.com presents Guncast, a podcast that unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, Guncast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find Guncast now on the Cliff Central app, on CliffCentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Car Argumentative. Guys, I'm excited about this segment because...
you look excited.
I gave you guys all a homework assignment this morning.
You did.
Mm. Where we had to go out onto the internet and find...
It's the first time you've given us a chance to prepare anything for the show.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
I didn't have time. I'm worried that I didn't think about it properly.
It's fine.
I think you didn't give it thought either.
Sometimes the best decisions... Oh, decisions made spontaneously on the fly, and on the spot.
But I'm sure I'm missing something.
I trust your judgment.
I know what you're missing. I'll tell you just now.
Okay.
Yeah. That cell phone wallet thing that you've got.
No.
250 short wheelbase at Goodwood this time last year.
So we need to explain to the listeners, we had to go out and find a racing car that we each thought was the best.
The best
sounding racing car. And we... would go onto YouTube. Well, we did go onto YouTube. So it's interactive. So we get to talk about the car, and you, the listener, get to hear them, and then you get
to vote.
Yes. At the end of it, there's going to be a poll, and you can vote for which car you think is the best. So, kicking it off, Mike, because you haven't been in studio for the last 5 months, you can go first.
I love counting the downshifts.
Yeah. It's amazing. So what that... I think that's bloody marvelous. I'm actually happy that I've gone first, because I think if I go on the things that should make this win, which is really, like, let's talk at character and depth and things like that, those, what you just heard, doesn't have that. Those were a pair of V10 engined Ferrari F1 cars. So it was a 2001 and a 2004 odd model. The 2001 car was a car that I actually watched live at Silverstone. I watched Schumacher and Barrichello come second and third after Häkkinen. And I just, for me, I will never, ever forget the first time I heard a V10 F1 car. And I remember it distinctly. We got to Silverstone, and it's a serious drive to get there. And we arrived probably 10 minutes before the warm-up. So back in those days, they used to have a warm-up before the race, and it happened at around 10 o'clock in the morning. So they would do a half-an-hour warm-up, just basically settling the car in, doing installation laps and things like that. And I just remember hearing that car before I saw it, and it just absolutely gave me goose flesh. I mean, it turned out that during the race, I was fortunate that I had earplugs, because 20 of those cars at full chatter, and we watched it just after Club, which is there's a straight, which is actually now the new pit straight at Silverstone, and before the Abbey chicane, and we watched them come past there, and I'll never ever forget that sound. They revved to about 18,000. And the thing about it is so guttural, the sound, and you know, for me, as I said, properly emotional. And I think that's what's missing out of F1 cars nowadays, is that you don't get that penetration of the sound. And now, Dave, you're 100% right. The downshifts are just the most amazing things. And you just, and I remember even watching those cars testing at Kyalami, and it just, the first time you hear an F1 car in real life, just
because you can hear the load on the engine, like you can hear it banging into gear. That's the beauty of it. It's not like a machine. It's visceral.
Anyway, I've got a Tim Henman right now.
But they that was 2001.
2001.
They perfected the. So we kind of used to PDK style, immensely fast downshifts these days. But they did that in 2001. So 18 years ago, we heard things on the downshifts, the speed of the downshift, it was just unrelatable.
Like it didn't compute.
So fast.
Yeah.
How can it go from 7 down to 2 at a hairpin? Just the most astonishing thing. I remember not being able to even compute how a road car can do something like that. And what an amazing thing.
I'd be happy if the cars lost 10 seconds a lap and sounded better.
Sounded something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they should do that.
In fact, the V10 engines, when, I don't know if our listeners will remember that, the Arrows two-seater Formula One demo cars
came
to South Africa. I don't remember in what year it was. But we wanted to go to Kyalami to check them out. And we were running a bit late. So we turned onto the M1 North going towards Kyalami to Midrand. And we were around about Greyston at the off-ramp. And I could hear them.
Seriously?
That is
no question what I was hearing.
It's true that. Unbelievable. It's
unbelievable. I know that sounds like I'm joking. I am not. I knew there was no question what I was hearing. And I could hear it from Sandy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm grinning now.
So, what a thing.
Awesome.
Who's next?
I'll go next.
Mark,
are we going to play the sound first?
We're going to roll the sound, Paige.
Marky.
No, but all of us. I think
just talking.
I said car, not motorbike.
No, so that's an Alpha 155 DTM car from early 90s, early to mid 90s.
Was it the four wheel drive?
Yeah, four wheel drive, V6.
How big was the engine?
Two and a half liter.
So that's a classic Alpha engine.
Revved to 11,900.
Sounds like more. Yeah.
Very low and far back in the chassis. So if you looked at the car, the driver was actually sitting where the B-pillar is.
They were basically silhouette racers.
They were. I mean, it just had a 155 shell.
And what a silhouette, eh? But how is the sound of that thing?
It's amazing.
It sounds like a motorbike. It really does.
It really does. I think it's got a flat plane crank V6.
Okay.
So it sounds different.
Mark called it sonorous. That's exactly.
Yeah. So the thing about it is that I was listening to videos today of them, and they sound so much different coming towards you as they do from the back. So you can hear a lot of intake sound, and then when they go past you, it sounds completely different, which is, spectacular. I really think it's
one of the best. Those upturned exhausts.
Yeah, two on the one side, upturned. Special thing, really special thing. And that era of DTM was, unarguably the best.
Yeah.
You had BMW, Merc, Alpha. I think Vauxhall was in there.
Yeah,
Volvo got involved at one point with
the touring. Audi as well. There with the touring estate car.
The estate car.
Wasn't that British touring car?
It was BTTC. Yeah. But this also raced in that as well. Yeah,
Lerini was racing that.
Yeah. And Nannini.
Maybe
it was. They were teammates.
And there's a great video of David Cironi.
Go and watch that.
Yeah, he's so animated. But for that,
he drives that car, this exact car, basically.
Yeah,
insane.
Something else. Crazy. So the thing about it is, it's unexpected. I mean, a Formula One car, especially a V10 or a V12 Formula One car, is expected to sound amazing.
Mm.
But to get this out of supposedly a saloon, a V6 saloon, is incredible.
Was that the Busso engine?
No, it wasn't. It was actually a bespoke.
It's totally bespoke. Yeah. I mean, okay. You can see the design.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
The blueprints, and it's not related to anything.
It's not actually that far from Formula One, really.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
The, really tight. The DTM tolerances. Rules at the time were, you know, there were
very many loopholes. Interpretable.
Wild. Very interpretable. Yeah. And those was cars it a winner? Wild.
Yeah, it won plenty. Yeah.
It did win.
Championships, races, everything.
Oh, interesting. You taught me something.
Go watch some videos. It's really cool stuff.
Nadav?
It's me.
It's Europe.
All right. I'm a little bit nervous. Yeah. I might be wrong. So that, maybe you might recognize, is a BMW V12 in a McLaren F1. It's an F1 GTR. And I just think that should remind everyone that it's a Le Mans winning engine. So that is not a play engine. That was remember, we've mentioned on the show before, that was a road car that successfully converted into a Le Mans winning racing car. So that is a manual shift as well. So if that wasn't clear,
you could hear that. I mean, it's amazing.
That's amazing.
So what I think
was that the last manual car to win Le Mans?
Could be.
At the time, was it a manual that won Le Mans, or was it a
manual that won Le Mans?
That's unbelievable. They were not
automated. So
it's a lot of work.
What stands out for me in that particular clip, which is there's so many of those clips on YouTube. Go over, look, just put in F1 GTR sound, and you know you'll get thousands. But what stands out for me is that you get an impression of how light the flywheel is and how quickly it will rev up on the downshifts. And it's got that, obviously, that insane sort of shrill V12 sound. And what isn't coming nicely out on the clip is that warble from the airbox.
I was going to say, the induction sound is probably the thing that really defines it.
So that didn't really come through. That was in car.
You heard one in real life?
Have I heard one in real life? Yes, I have.
Nick Mason's at Kyle Army?
The Top Gear thing.
I didn't hear Nick Mason's. I didn't hear that. But when I went to Laguna Seca, they had the Fina GTR around that. Then I also heard the long-tail Davidoff car at the Quail. So, yeah, I've heard them. And so for me, the fact, what really stands out is it is absolutely... It's actually not race bred. It was originally the Paul Roche 6.1 BMW was a road car engine, and yet it won Le Mans. And so it's relatable, and yet motorsport winning. And for me,
it bridges the gap.
I'm sure there's something else will occur to me.
It's amazing. I had a suspicion you were going to pick a V12. I thought it was going to be a Ferrari V12.
It could have easily been. I mean, there's a few early 60s Ferraris.
Could have been a Zonda Touring.
Could have definitely been a Zonda Touring.
So that's my choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it me? Can I go?
You can.
Can I go? Paige, roll the tape.
Yeah.
Roll the tape.
The downshift is insane.
That is so cool. So
that sounds like a bike.
Yeah.
That does sound like a bike. So it kind of sounds like a Formula One car as well. It's probably as loud.
It's got to be a rotary.
It is a rotary. Yeah. So this
a
is
a rotary. So we've actually got V10, V12, V6, and a rotary. Yeah. That's awesome.
So this could actually be my favorite race car of all time. This is the Mazda 787B, the Group C car that won Le Mans in 1991. It's the only race car that's ever won Le Mans with a rotary engine, which will probably never, ever be done ever again.
Mm-mm.
It was the only Japanese mark to have won Le Mans up until Toyota did it.
Wow.
Like 2 years ago at Le Mans. And it's just the most like insane sounding.
What is it revving to? Those rev very high.
So it basically has, it's got the last Wankel.
You said Wank.
It was a four rotor.
It was a four rotor.
Four
was,
turbo.
No.
Four rotor.
It's more rotor.
It's naturally aspirated.
Oh, is it? I thought it was a twin turbo.
Naturally aspirated.
Really?
Four rotor, three spark plugs per chamber.
Oh, wow.
Its displacement is 2.6 liters if you had to convert it to like normal car.
So it's like 2,1300 twin rotors, yeah.
It had a range of power. Like some people said.
No, hold on. Wouldn't it have been, so 2.6, wouldn't that have been the turbo equivalent that it works up to 4 liters? Maybe they applied the same factor for 2.6, or maybe it actually displaced 2.6, and then it was the equivalency of a factor of 4 liter. Because that's, I think, how the turbocharging versus normally aspirated goes.
Not sure.
Rotaries are.
Yeah, they're anomalies.
They're a strange breed. But it, anyway, so it could make up to 670 kilowatts, which is like 900 horsepower.
Wow.
If they let it rev beyond 10,000 RPM.
Oh, so it's not revving above 10.
It did then to get maximum power, but in Le Mans, that dialed it down to about 8,500 RPM.
Just to keep it reliable.
And it was making between 480 and 520 kilowatts.
Okay. So you got to win first to win.
Yeah. And
serious mono.
You got to finish first to win.
What's also cool about it is...
I like mine better.
To finish first you have to finish.
That's it.
It's got these...
Completely wrong then. Okay, sorry, Thomas.
It's got these variable intake runners. So what that does is, like on a rotary engine, they're known for making a lot of power high up.
Mm-hmm.
But to get around that, because you also need low down torque.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got these intake tubes, basically, mm-hmm. which will adjust via the ECU.
I've seen a video on that, yeah.
Yeah, so
Vario, Porsche have Vario RAM. It's a similar thing.
So at high RPMs, they get smaller. At lower RPMs, they get bigger. So that made the car, it made the engine more
torquey
and smoother and better the whole way through the rev range.
Interesting. What era is that from?
So this was 1990 and 91.
Yeah.
Okay.
They built two in 1990 and three in 91.
That must have been going against the 962s. Porsche 962s.
Yeah. And they were underdogs. Nobody expected them to win Le Mans.
Was it a wet race?
No. But all the other cars were affected by reliability, and the Mazda.
I mean, it's ironic. That was the thing that I would expect to break first.
Didn't break. Just kept on going.
That is amazing.
They had one problem on the car, and that was a faulty headlight globe, and that was it.
Is there one at the Frankfurt Motor Museum?
I don't know.
I think might be.
But what's also cool about this car, I did some more digging, it had a 5-speed manual gearbox, and you know who made the gearbox for them? It's a Porsche gearbox.
Oh, it's probably straight out of a 962.
Yeah.
Must have been probably the same, I would say.
But that car is just, oh, man.
I will say that at the same meeting that I got to, race meeting that I got to see the F1 GTR V12, I got to see a 787B. So
that thing is...
Yeah, I got to hear it in real life, and it is astonishing. It's the most bizarre.
Oh, 787 sound. It's like 323 and 626.
Yeah.
It's a Mazda thing.
It's a Mazda
thing. Yeah.
It does sound insane. I feel, consider myself very lucky to have heard it. Yeah.
So I was at Le Mans a couple of years ago, and one of the build-up events was a Group C race.
Mm-hmm.
And the 787 broke down, so it never actually took to the circuit. But I saw all of the other ones. But... there was a Top Gear festival in Durban a couple of, must have been like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And they didn't have a 787, but they had a 767, which came before that.
Was that one turbocharged?
No.
One of them was turbocharged. No.
Right.
What about a 747? I know, that's a bone.
And actually, that car was louder than the Red Bull Formula One car that they had there. And it was insane. And ever since that day,
it comes from a time where there were no rules.
I'm going out on a limb here, and like it's the first time we've had this where I feel like I don't even need a poll, because I don't think there are any losers here. I think each one of these cars is just spectacular.
So that's it.
Okay.
If you guys have got a favorite racing car,
Let us know. What have we missed?
I'm we sure want to hear it.
Thousands of them.
Send us a clip.
Hmm.
There are lots up on YouTube.
And hit us up on Instagram.
Yeah.
The account's been a bit quiet.
What is our Instagram?
At Cargumentative.
Yeah.
Cool. Do that, and if we like it, we'll give it a shout out.
Nice.
I don't know why. I feel like I need a cigarette now.
Well, we can organize that. We're going to have a cigarette and a water break, and we'll be back shortly.
Young people are making their mark. Get up!
Tune into the Sebenza Live Behind the Hustle podcast every Tuesday to find out more about what fascinating careers are out there. You can find us on the Sowetan Live website,
or you can follow us on Twitter on Sebenza Live.
Sebenza boy.
Sebenza girl.
Sebenza.
Yavamdana.
Welcome back to Cogumentative. In this segment, I don't know what's happening. Somebody's in trouble, or someone's going
You sound remarkably chipper for an oak who's about to be dragged through a cheese grater.
Over the coals. This just is an intervention.
Just because I want to go on a road trip with Nadav.
No, that's not what you want to do.
Men enjoying the comforts of the open road.
So, for those of you who give a rat's, Thomas wants to drive down to Hermanus to trade his fridge in on a microwave.
Well put. Well put.
Pretty much.
One appliance for another appliance.
Perfectly good fridge for an old microwave.
Yeah.
What? Exactly. They're the same age.
So and tell the nice people what you're actually doing.
So why don't you just edge us into this?
Okay, I'm going to edge you in. So basically, I have a Daihatsu Materia Turbo.
So what?
Good car. You know what it is? Mike's driven about it.
Google that.
I actually don't mind that car. I actually like it.
Thing is, it's starting to get a bit old, and it's not the most economical of cars. I work in media, so I don't have a lot of money. So I need to maximize gas mileage.
And you get paid in exposures.
I get paid in exposures. And
who exposes themselves?
Okay.
So
you want to now what?
So I wanted to get a car that's economical, squeeze out.
So hang on. So you're a car guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you consider yourself to be a car guy. What you're about to say is sacrilege.
Mm.
Every car connoisseur in the world will go against what you're about to say you're going
to
trade.
Just because it's cool to hate, man.
And if I could make a humble request to all the listeners, could you send him hate mail to his Instagram? Please, just do that.
Tell the nice ladies and gentlemen what you want to trade
in. So, I'm trading in. I'm not trading. I want to trade in my Daihatsu on a very nice, clean, one owner, full service history with Toyota Prius. 2008, second generation Prius with 100,000 Ks on the clock.
Listen to yourself say that.
What? Say it again. Yeah, say it again.
Toyota Prius.
Yeah.
You just lost all 28 of your Instagram followers.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Well, maybe I'll gain,
So, Thomas, do you honestly believe this car is economical and green and all the stuff we've discussed, which is complete crap?
Yeah.
It's not crap. I've driven Priuses.
But it's not economical.
It is economical.
Why don't you just get
it's hard on the planet.
It's not hard on the planet.
They have to club baby seals to make those batteries.
I didn't buy it. I'm buying it secondhand. It exists already.
But you could do it all a new the car. Favor by destroying it.
Why?
We've had so many segments saying these things actually don't have great fuel economy.
They actually do.
Top Gear did a test with an M3 V8.
Yeah, going around a racetrack. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going to be doing in my Prius.
Imagine what it's like in the city.
I'm going to take my Prius around, an oval track over and over again.
Are you?
No.
Oh.
It's an everyday car. I live in Johannesburg, which is probably the worst city to be a car enthusiast.
I drove other Prius that you had here.
Yeah.
And I didn't. It was always wanting to make the petrol motor cut in.
Because you were driving it wrong. You need to drive it
smoothly. You need a special Prius license.
No, you just need to say something, Nadav.
Okay. So I've known you quite well. Known you for a while.
You have known me for a while.
And you want to spend how much on this?
What?
This Prius? Is how much? How many rands is this?
Is it more than 20,000
rand?
What? It's a 100,000 rand car.
So let me ask you this.
Mm.
How much
mm-hmm.
is a Nissan Qashqai 1.5 DCI?
I looked at those.
Mm. because I know
but they're high
that
mileage.
That's the best car you've ever driven.
They're high, the best car.
Is that the best car you've ever driven?
I've got a different question.
You can do like 1,000 Ks on a tank. It's the most fuel economic car I've ever driven. You can do 1,000 Ks on a tank.
It was amazing. Until I drove a Prius.
Okay, I want to contextualize.
Could you not find a low mileage one?
It's low mileage.
Thomas, do you not like females?
What?
Do you not like women?
No, I'm just comfortable with my sexuality. No, I don't have to
it's
have
not about your sexuality.
Man. I don't have to have
it's
an automotive.
About attracting the opposite sex.
But it's you don't understand
like
this.
A magnet turned with its minus side.
To you guys, it's like it's the only car I have. I also have a Porsche, which I can drive.
Which you never use because
when I want
to
drive,
because
it's because it's crap to drive around in day to day traffic.
It might rain.
I want a car that is. You get in, it's quiet, it's automatic.
You're doing this for
good
attention.
Mileage.
Hold on.
And you're not going to get any attention.
No, hold on. I need to ask a quick question here. Okay? Yeah. So let me ask you this. I'm going to make a devastating concession here. But you have a Materia which is sort of a hot hatch. I mean, okay, so that's a massive concession.
Lukewarm hatch.
No, remember, the thing makes like whistling sounds in the turbo. And
I think it's because it has a hole.
It's a limited edition.
I enjoyed driving it. Now I'm asking the question here. Yeah. So this thing you're going to trade in against a secondhand car, which could give you shit because it's got batteries that who knows how long they're going to last for. And I mean, it's a complex car. Now, my question is, let's go through the numbers quickly in terms of how much you practically are going to save. How many Ks a month do you do on your own car? In your own car?
Maybe about 200, 300 Ks.
A month?
Yeah.
You're going to save nothing.
Yeah, all right.
Guys,
let's all put $10 on the table. Yeah, we would have saved in the top.
So hold on a second. Okay, so this, for this car... First of all, you're going to do
some months more than others.
Hold on. You're going to do a full year's worth of your driving just to go and fetch it. Okay. All right. Okay. So let's just be clear. So we're going to use a year's worth of petrol just to go and fetch this thing. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. And
destroy the planet
and coming back.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay in more money to get this car.
Yes.
For something that is worse.
It's a lower mileage car.
What's the insurance? What's the difference in insurance? Have you looked that up?
Minimal.
How much?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
I can tell you now, but it's not worth the difference. All right. So the amount of money you save in fuel, you're going to be spending in insurance. And it's not a lot more.
What do you mean saving money in fuel? You've got to spend a year's worth of fuel to fetch it.
I know.
No, man. It's not years worth
of fuel. If we take that out of the equation. What size engine does your Materia have?
1.5.
A 1.5.
And it's turbocharged. Yeah. It's a very efficient motor already.
Well,
it is. You would have written that it was. And now, what size engine does the Prius have?
1.5.
Also. Is it turbocharged?
No.
So it's a less efficient petrol engine, probably.
It doesn't have as much power, does it?
No, it has to drag its batteries around everywhere it goes.
It's about
Just leave the battery somewhere.
And if you do,
it makes it inefficient when it's driving under petrol power.
And if for 1 second you do wake up and think to yourself, hold on, there's like no cars in front of me and I feel like being a petrol head. Then your fuel economy will
you
literally...
You can't choose when those opportunities
come. To hell.
So you have to be in the right car at the right time. You would be in your Prius. You would be a taxi driver in Paris.
And worst of all, Nick Wilson will have a better car than you.
Yeah, he will. A lot better. Nick, the guy who doesn't like cars.
It's not a competition.
It's
not a competition. I don't care.
He who dies with the most toys wins.
No.
Okay, but hold on. So I've got my trusty calculator out, and I've calculated that in fuel costs, you will save a grand total of...
Yeah.
126 rand a month.
I bet your insurance is 200 rand more a month.
I don't pay monthly.
How much is that? How much is that in pounds?
What, do you not pay insurance?
I pay annually.
£8.
It'll be
so
divided by 12.
And you have to go fetch it, and you have to pay in.
Yeah.
If your argument is money saving,
but it's a long term.
It's
a long term process.
It's going to be a very long term process.
It's a long term process.
How long are the batteries? How long do the batteries work in a Prius for?
Yeah.
The batteries in the Prius. Well, it depends. The taxis in Poland, they use them.
10 years.
No, the lifetime of the vehicle.
I'll tell you what, there is a problem that you're not factoring in yet.
How old is this car?
2008.
Battery cars.
It's 11 years old.
No. Yeah.
Those batteries are
put. They're not. No, hold on.
I want to weigh in here. Yeah. There's something that you haven't considered.
What?
There is a chance.
Yes.
That going on the lines of what Mark just discussed, that when the batteries die, because of the value of the car that you're paying, you could end up throwing that whole car away.
No, but
it could be.
I've done my homework. I have found a company in Joburg, which will redo your battery pack, refurbish it.
For how much money?
9,000 rand.
Never.
Yes.
That's a lie.
It's not a lie.
That should be on carte blanche. That's
it's
a
not.
Scam.
It's not a scam. It's not a big battery pack.
Send Debbie to buy batteries there. It's 100,000 rand for batteries. It's not 9,000
rand. It's not.
Do us a favor. Just
promise
us. It's
not the actual battery that starts the car, Thomas. It's the battery.
Yes, I know that.
Promise us that you'll sleep on it.
We're going to sit here in a while. We're going to go. I told you so.
Why?
Yeah. I told you so.
Actually, please buy the Prius. Please buy the Prius.
It's a reliable. It's proven to be reliable.
It has not
been. It has been. It has been. If you Google it, and I've spent a lot of time researching this car. Google it. They can do incredibly high mileages. Some of those cars have done 300,000 miles, and they still have their original battery pack in.
Hashtag keep the materia.
Yeah, start the form.
Who would have thought I'm arguing for a flipping material? Yeah.
There's no more Daihatsu in South Africa.
That's eventually, amazing. It's like God. A rare car now.
Eventually, what am I going to do
I'm
for
arguing
parts?
For a
what
material?
Am I going to do for, you know, if I need stuff done?
Can't you buy a Daihatsu parts at game?
No, you can't. You can buy Toyota parts at game, though.
All right, okay, I think we're done,
I think you're done. That's it. You guys just will never
promise
understand.
Us you'll sleep on it. You know.
I did sleep on it last night, and I woke up feeling good.
Okay.
I think you're bored. Okay, carry on.
That's it.
Thank you for tuning in.
We'll see what he decides to
thank
do.
Thank you for downloading this episode.
Don't say we didn't tell you.
Either way, it'll be a nice...
It'll be a nice road trip. Very expensive relative one for
you. We can come up with some jaunty jokes.
Imagine if you had some mates that were reasonably knowledgeable about cars that could give you good advice.
Just buy the hardest, like, fastest car you can for
the
money.
No, it's not that at all. Keep the materia.
We can come up with a dozen better cars for you to drive.
Mark's got a C-Class diesel.
It's lovely. I don't want a C-Class diesel.
I mean, but you can,
it's got a Harman Kardon sound system.
The Prius is a JBL sound
system. JBL's crap.
JBL's better.
All right, I think we fade out on this. What do you think?
Yeah.
The argument.
Right, okay. Guys, thanks for joining me again. It's been real. We've had arguments. We've laughed.
We've cried a bit on the inside.
Yeah,
always. We had the Tim Hanman.
And we'll do it all again next week.